Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Till the end of time. Now that's the same thing that you told me. And it seems like only yesterday.
Gee, ain't it funny? You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt. Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Willie, ain't it funny how time slips away?
Yeah, that is funny. He is so right.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel at ESPN Louisville, presented by Stockton Mortgage. That was a good interview. He did. He was terrific. And you know, a lot of people they have hard times in their lives. And like he said, nobody's perfect. We all have done things that we wish we had differently.
But you mean do-overs?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes, yes. But he's very transparent in this book. It's I enjoyed that interview a lot.
And he was able to write his. Put his feelings to pen and paper without a ghostwriter.
Right.
That's impressive.
Yeah. No.
That's impressive.
No, it really is. Sharp guy.
Yep.
Sharp.
I would say that somewhere along the line. Now, he did, and I forgot to ask you about this. There was a – I don't know what league it was, but there was an East Coast league. He served as an assistant commissioner for the league for a couple years. Hmm. So I don't know. Maybe he's had his full – of college athletics. Sometimes you can have your full of something. I mean, people don't understand the pressure and the politics involved in college athletics.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Of course, I think his big break, reading his biography, I think his big break came when he went to Kansas and was Roy Williams' assistant. And that gave his coaching career some real pizzazz. And then he went to Notre Dame, and it was interesting when he, you know, how do you not take the job when Dean Smith, your Hall of Fame coach, Michael Jordan, your all-everything teammate, maybe the greatest player that's ever played, when they call you and say you got to take this job, I mean, he'd only been at Notre Dame for a year. And he said one of the mistakes he made was when he went, and we've talked about this before, one of the mistakes that a young coach, maybe getting his first or second job, makes is always hiring a bunch of his friends to be the assistant coach. And, you know, you need people who are going to help you. And if you make a mistake, stand up and say, hey, that's wrong. You can't do that. You got to do it this way. He told them when he said he'd take the job at North Carolina, he told them that he would only come if he could bring all of his Notre Dame assistants with him. And that made guys like Phil Ford, who were assistants, a lot of North Carolina guys were assistants for Coach Guthridge, and that put them all out of a job because he brought his entire...
Phil Ford, who's a legendary Carolina player, was put out to something else.
And so, you know, that's probably another mistake he made. But interesting career.
Yeah, you got to keep track of Matt because he's doing a lot of things, speaking, coaching. He wrote a book. That puts him on a platform that looks pretty attractive at his age for universities, non-coaching spots, businesses. But he likes it. He did say, look, I don't have an AD.
Don't have a booster club.
He said, I'm my own boss, yeah. And he likes that, which is
– it was good. Yeah. It was good.
You want to get back – well, first of all, you want to get back to basketball? We talk
whatever
a little
you want to talk about, Michael.
Now that's what I like. Oh, listen, Wednesdays. We got to expand. What do we call this process on Wednesdays when you dig into history and bring questions to the table about history? What should we call this? Wicked Wednesday? Process is not listening.
He's
to
He's asleep.
Me. Yeah. But I've got, you know, when Bezos took his spaceship up.
Yep.
Kind of, you go back in history after watching that, it looked like a lot of fun. They were bouncing around in there. That was pretty cool.
Who was it said they hoped he stayed in outer space?
Well, he made a little mistake, he said, and then he tried to get out of it, backpedal a little bit. He said all the people that buy things at Amazon made this possible. He thanked them. And, I mean, how many people give a flying flip who bought stuff, right? But anyway, I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're a bright guy. And you understand history.
Well, that's debatable.
First astronaut to walk on the moon. Here's your options.
Oh, I know this. I watched it.
Okay. Who is it?
One small step
yes,
for
sir.
Man.
Yes, sir.
One giant
You want me to give
leap.
You four options?
Yeah. It was John Glenn.
James Lovell. Buzz Aldrin. Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong.
There you go.
Neil Armstrong.
And he is from Wapakoneta, Ohio, which
I knew we were going to get back to Ohio somewhere. John Glenn's from Ohio, too, wasn't he?
Yes, he is.
Senator
yes, he
or representative
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah,
Ohio
sir.
For a while.
I think I got him right.
What did John Glenn do? Was he the first one to orbit? I know Alan Shepard was the first one that went up, but he just
took a walk.
Yeah, Alan Shepard went up and down.
Yeah.
He was only up there for a few minutes. But then I think Glenn might have been the first one to orbit. I don't know what I'm talking about.
All those things came at such a fast pace back in the day, okay?
Yeah.
And so, I mean.
Well, remember, it was a big competition.
With the Russians.
Yeah, with the Russians to see who was going to be the first one to put a man on the moon. So, I remember it was the summer of 69. Must have been July sometime. July 20th, something.
It was summertime,
sticks
yeah.
out in my
yeah.
mind. July 20th,
it was late at night, too.
69.
Our
yeah.
time,
yeah.
really late at
yeah.
night. So a texter is, we got to call this Wiley Wednesday.
Wiley Wednesday.
I like
That's
that.
That's good.
Don't you?
Yeah. That's really good.
Wiley Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good job, texter.
So it's your turn to dig up something, not dirt, but just historical.
Next Wednesday.
Wiley Wednesday. I wonder, sponsored by Wiley Wednesdays. We got to get a sponsor for that one. We could even make it like two or three things instead of just one if the right sponsor came along, right?
So it just hit me. July 20th was yesterday.
Yeah.
So yesterday was the anniversary of the first, I think
I didn't catch that.
It was the anniversary of the first moonwalk.
Well, that was the best moonwalk I saw was Michael Jackson.
I knew that was coming as soon as I said it.
All right, I've got to talk to you about the game last night in this regards. Boy, the Suns had a chance to win if they could rebound a little bit, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they got torched. They didn't shoot it well. They shot low 40s, I think 42.
And I think only made 6 3-pointers.
Yeah,
which is
their bag.
Yeah.
That's their bag.
Yep.
And but they're rebounding. And they've had a problem with Milwaukee in that regard. That and the turnovers, Milwaukee coughed it up 18 times, and the Suns coughed it up 14. But the Suns – 24% beyond the arc, which is their bag. I mean, right. That's it, man. Yeah.
But you know, having said that, I think, and Chris Paul immediately after the game, I think he has a player option. Is that right? He can choose to stay
at Phoenix, or he can
become a free agent. He didn't commit to Phoenix, but he did commit to playing next year. He said, "I'm not retiring," and I like that. He shouldn't retire. But I think they need, they being Phoenix, to be competitive. For a championship, I think they need a little more muscle. You know, they Ayton is a really nice player. I like him. He's going to be terrific. But you know, he's not a big, strong guy.
Doesn't play big and strong.
No, not at all. So I would say if I was Phoenix, I'd be looking for a little more muscle to add to that team next year.
I think Crawford was supposed to bring that, but he's 6'6".
Okay. Yeah, but Mike, offensively, now he might try to guard some big guys. Offensively, he's like Brooks Lopez. He might as well be 6'2", because all he wants to do is hang out at the three-point line.
Yeah, good point. I've got to ask you, did you see your boy got in the first quarter? Frank the Tank Kaminsky.
He did.
He got in the
first quarter. And Frank had 6 points.
I know. I know.
He was a factor.
And he played 11 minutes, 3 of 4. He's 6'11". He got 2 rebounds, so he really worked the boards well. But he had a steal. No, the Tank, Frank the Tank.
How many fouls did Frank the Tank have?
0.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
0.
They should have left him on Giannis a little more.
You know, go back to Ayton, and you know, we both like his skill set, but laterally he doesn't move. Giannis plays both ends of the floor. You got to give him that.
The guy plays
both ends of the floor.
Yes, he does.
But Ayton, he ran almost, I thought, ran at times from Giannis.
Yep,
no wouldn't
question.
Move, wouldn't move laterally.
No.
Would not move laterally.
No, especially early in the game because he is afraid he's going to get in foul trouble. You're absolutely right. When Giannis got the ball and started for the rim, he was headed the other direction.
So here's the shot blocker that won't wait for the big fella at the rim. I go like, come on, man, you got to pick that up. But boy, you look at they got 9 points off their bench, the Suns.
No, they got more than that, didn't they?
They got 19. Payne got 10.
Payne had a nice game for the little amount of time that he. He only played
10 minutes.
Yeah, he hit a three-pointer or two, didn't he?
He was 2 for 2.
Yeah.
I like him. He's a nice young player.
I thought he played well. Once Giannis decided at halftime he was going to take over that game, it was all over. I think he had 33 points in the second half.
I thought the Suns just didn't seem to be able to capitalize. Again, they're a three-point shooting team. They only shoot 24%. But the Bucks, they are not a three-point shooting team.
No. But Giannis even made a three-pointer last night. He made all of his free throws. What was he, 17 of 19?
That was the key. That's where I was going. You're so right.
Yeah.
You're so right. He only took 3 trays, which is smart. But he got to the foul line, and he made them. The Bucks took one more tray than the Suns and made 6. The Suns made 6. They shot 22% beyond the arc, but still won the ball game.
Yeah.
And the Suns shoot 24, and that's their bag. And you know, they couldn't make them. I mean, they had standstill spot up trays. I mean, Crawford and. Who's the other guy that I was thinking about? Payne was 3 of 4. 3 of 7, Bridges. He started well.
Yeah, you know, kind of disappeared after that.
He did.
What about the crowd? Between the people inside the building and the people outside the building, Mike, they had 80,000 people there. To me, that's amazing. Just to stand outside and watch the game on a big screen. and have, what, 60,000 people outside there? That's great support.
That's what happens when you don't win a championship in 50 years. Okay.
Yeah.
But what the point is, and you can address this because you're involved in bringing a team here, Milwaukee's the 37th U.S. metro area. Okay? 37th. And I don't know where Louisville stands, but it's a small market.
It has to be in that
ballpark.
Area, yeah.
Milwaukee's a small market, and they've got a baseball team. They've got the championship basketball team, Green Bay right up the road. So don't tell me you can't build a team in a small market. Now, it might be a situation where free agents don't want to flock to Milwaukee. Maybe they do now, but really haven't. They haven't signed a lot of premier
free agents. Yep.
Here's an interesting number. And over the last on this team, they have one single-digit NBA draft player, which was Giannis. Okay, single-digit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't single-digit.
15.
He's
the highest-rated.
He's the highest-rated.
And they've only had one single-digit draft choice over the last 20 years. Okay. And of the top seven players, the average draft spot was 26, which is first round. But that's the average.
That's the average.
Top seven players. Yeah, so they built a team, not through free agency or not through a super team recruiting players.
Right.
They built it through drafting, selection of free agents that were not premier guys, but were guys that were good rotation guys. I mean, they built this piece by piece. And the big piece they got when they convinced Giannis to hang around a bookstore.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting ready to say. That's what built the team. When he could have left and instead signed the maximum contract to stay in Milwaukee, and they got some pieces. Although I even hate to say it because I've been beating on the poor kid, but Drew Holiday during these playoffs, he didn't look like an all NBA player or an Olympic player or anything. They got him at the start of the season. I think they got B.J. Tucker during the season, who made a contribution. So they've done a nice job. But you're right. The whole key was getting Giannis to come back. If he hadn't come back, they'd be a lottery team.
And he was the 15th pick in the first round.
Yeah.
I was reading an article about this. The newspapers and some people that think they know everything blasted Milwaukee for taking this kid. They didn't think he was ready, didn't know when he would ever be ready. And in this article, they said a lot of people thought they should have taken, instead of Giannis, taken Shane Larkin.
Who?
I knew that would get you. Shane Larkin, he's a guard. Barry Larkin's son.
Oh, yeah.
Played at Central Florida. Mm-hmm. Kicked around a little bit in the NBA. I think he played with Boston for a year or two. I'm not sure. But, he was a rotation player at best. And that's who they thought they should have taken ahead of Giannis. Now, I would like to find those people that said that.
Well, it just goes to show sometimes, you have to go against conventional thinking, and everybody's got a mock draft out there and who they think you should take. And sometimes you just got to go with your gut and take the one that you think eventually will make the biggest contribution. And boy, did he make a contribution last night.
And the pieces are there to play well next year, but it's going to be difficult. First thing everybody says, can they repeat? Oh, yeah, they can repeat. They've got Giannis. But, they caught some breaks along the way. The Nets had injuries.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I believe Atlanta had Bogdanović was injured a little bit.
And remember, Young was playing on one leg the last game of the series.
And that's a young team. That's a young team,
it's so hard anymore to go back to back because you get complacent. You start listening to people tell you how good you are. You lose a little bit of that motivation, and so it's very, very difficult to go back to back anymore.
Well, a texter has said made a statement and a question. He says, or she says, can't tell me that Louisville and UK fans wouldn't support a team, NBA team. Then he goes on to say, is the issue high net worth individuals here in Louisville commuting to, or coming, I think he means, to a suite for roughly 40 home games? He said, I know that's why Charlotte was considered over Louisville.
Well, I agree with the first statement, and that is, I mean, I know it was the NBA championship, but you see it here. I mean, Wisconsin's not exactly a hotbed of basketball.
Yeah, point,
and
point.
And you see how the population got behind this team. And with the love of basketball here and the programs at Louisville and the programs at Kentucky and some of the other schools around the state, there's no doubt in my mind. And we have documentation. We have reams of data that show that Louisville can support a professional basketball team. Again, to answer the question, the real challenge is, what is the NBA going to do? Because there's all kinds of speculation. Well, Seattle's number one, and Vegas is number two, and Louisville's number three. And nobody's ever said that the NBA is even considering expansion. And so if the NBA decides that expansion, and they're going to expand globally, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't know how long it's going to take them, but there will be expansion globally. If they decide that 30 NBA teams in the United States is enough, you know, no matter what, you could have 14 billionaires and the greatest arena in the world. If they're not expanding, you can't get a team.
And the Las Vegas issue, does it lose a little bit of its luster when the NBA now is moving toward having kiosks where they can bet at the arenas? I mean, does that the betting piece is set there in the arenas, possibly,
right?
You were telling us. Does that ability kind of make Vegas look a little, why?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question, Mike. But I don't know that they're looking at Vegas just because of the gambling aspect of it. They're looking at Vegas because of the size of the community. I mean, Vegas and Henderson, the surrounding area, that's a huge market. And, of course, you know, you have tens of thousands of people coming in there every day that, you know, would take time off to go to an NBA game a night. So I think that's probably the bigger attraction to going to Vegas. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but they just announced a couple days ago that there's going to be a new huge arena, hotels. Somebody's building a 23-seat arena in addition to the T-Mobile Center. So they'll have two arenas when this comes to pass in Vegas. And it was a huge – billions and billions of dollars, a huge new development on the Strip with several hotels and convention space. Just an unbelievable new development going up.
Would the arena, would it have a dome of some type?
It said it was a retractable dome.
So they're after baseball.
Well, not at 23,000. It'd have to be bigger than 23,000 for baseball. But baseball's coming because Oakland, I just read a report this morning that Oakland kind of met the A's halfway on what they wanted to build a new baseball stadium in downtown Oakland. So you can see the Oakland A's will be in Vegas before long.
Well, same thing. They're having issues in Cleveland. There's a lot been written about Cleveland. What's the future of baseball in Cleveland? So, I mean, I would hope that those old line teams like the Indians, they've been there for a long time. You hate to see them go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Oakland, you hate to see them go too, but I mean.
Well, think of the A's. This would be the fourth. This will be the fourth team that they've been in. They started in Philadelphia, then Kansas City, then Oakland, and if they move, Vegas will be the fourth one.
Well, that's, I mean, Charlie Finley, your guy, Charlie Finley.
Charlie O.
All right. Well, we got some other things to talk about here in the last half hour. Mark Stoops, we got a sound sheet from him about the football team, and everybody's getting cranked up about football now. Media day today with the ACC. I would think Big Ten is up next. So we can talk some college football in the second
half hour.
Yep, that's it. That's the one, man. We'll be back.
Locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. What would you have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a hot tub on the deck, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home, and they'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, equal housing lender.
Well, it's football season. The media
almost
days.
Yeah, almost.
But it's all cranking up now because the coaches all have a chance to get on a platform and run their yap, right? and do it in various ways. But I think you and I talk first of all about Nick Saban.
Is that unbelievable?
Talking to the Texas High School Coaches Association.
So there might have been a little self-serving in this message because he's on recruiting all of the time. So he's just happens to be talking to the Texas High School coaches and informs them that Bryce Young, who has not started a game at Alabama, is approaching $1 million in name, image, and likeness funding. And he said, Coach Saban said, now this young man has not even started a game.
Or taken a snap.
That's because of our brand. And so you can't tell me that name, image, and likeness is not going to give a huge recruiting advantage to some of these schools when a kid that hasn't even started a game. Now, I think everybody recognizes he's going to start and he's going to be a really good player. But, you know, the kid and the thing that's interesting, Michael, is there isn't any G League for football. There isn't. They can't go to Australia and make money. So this name, image, and likeness thing is going to create huge advantages for some of these schools.
And I'm reading from some quotes. Saban in Hoover at Media Day. He was asked about the disparity in earnings among teammates. And we've seen where there was one school that they said, I forget who it was, all their earnings will go into a pot and everybody will share. Remember that?
No. I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was somebody that said, we're going to share
our
earnings.
That's called communism, isn't it?
Well, to these guys, it's called being fair, right?
Yeah. We'll see how long that rule stays in place when one kid gets $100,000 and he has to go in and split it up with all of his teammates.
Well, they didn't say it was finalized.
There was the guy in Miami who said he's going to give $500 to every player on the roster. That's one thing. But that what you just described, that'll never fall.
No, but I it was brought up by a school, by some players.
And everybody, not everybody, but people bring up this thing, you know, what's this going to do to the locker room? And there will be some hard feelings. But, Michael, everybody knows, you know, everybody knows an offensive lineman at Alabama knows that the quarterback's going to have more exposure than he's got. So I don't think it winds up being the huge problem that a lot of people think it will be.
No, I tend to agree with you on that. I don't always agree with you, but that I do there. But I think also we're going.
Well, the times you don't agree are the times that you're wrong.
That's right. But we're going in uncharted waters.
No question about that.
We don't know how this is going to shake out. And college football has always tried to go with a level playing field, or at least make you believe there was a level playing field. Okay, so Saban had this to say, quote, "Everything that we've done in college athletics in the past has always been equal. Everybody has had equal scholarships, equal opportunity. Now, that's probably not going to be the case. Some positions, some players will have more opportunities than others. How that's going to impact your team, our team, the players on the team, I really can't answer that question because we don't have any precedent."
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, yet he says that, and we both believe that, right? I mean, a pretty true statement, except with the level playing field, you know. We don't know about these. Yet he goes out to the Texas high school coaches and says, "My guy can make $1 million."
Yeah, but he didn't say "my guy." He said because of our brand. So you think every good quarterback in the state of Texas now doesn't know that he's got a quarterback that's going to make $1 million while he's still in college? That's pretty smart on Saban's half.
And one of the players, a defensive lineman at Alabama, was interviewed like a lot of players are. His name's Mathis. He was asked about the money that Young, the quarterback, mm-hmm. could make. He says, "I just want to see everybody win at the end of the day." And he was asked whether there would be any potential locker room issues. Matthew said no. Because at the end of the day, our team loves to win. So
yeah.
We'll see. That's all good pablum.
Yeah, no, he said exactly what he's supposed to say. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be the problem that some people are predicting.
Well, we will see. It will be really interesting. How many teams self-destruct during the course of the year over this, huh?
That's a good point.
And remember now, I want you to remember this now. I know you don't follow me all the time on this stuff, but there's two kinds of buys.
All right.
There's a buy by a sponsor, by a product.
Looking for a return on their investment.
Okay. Yep. And the other half is the love buy.
Just doing it because they want to give a kid some money.
Exactly. And that fits Alabama's scheme to a T. Okay? It's Alabama football.
Yeah.
No. And you can say it about Kentucky basketball, North Carolina basketball,
sure.
Duke basketball.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of love buy. But not everybody's going to get some of that love on the team.
Then I would say to those young men who are playing football, you know, work on your game so you're good enough to go to Alabama.
Well, we got some clips from Stoops. Can you handle that one? I don't know the new guy.
Where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Louisville.
Are you? Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. We'll call you Louisville then.
You're an intern?
Something like that, yes.
Okay, good. Process, could you pull up the Stoops 4 Gatewood on the quarterback situation?
Put up. Joey has been a terrific teammate, you know, really has come in and worked hard, gotten better each and every day. He had a really good spring. Of course, Will was not there in the spring, so he and Bo Allen were battling for the starting position, and Joey really had a good spring. Now you add Will to the mix, and we have a lot to look at. You know, it's nice to have options. I feel very good about those three and others in our program, so we'll see where it goes, but he did have a really good spring. And again, one of the things I was most impressed with him was he's a big, strong guy, but he was very accurate down the field. He got the ball down the field and was accurate down the field, something we needed to improve on.
Yes, for sure.
That's a given.
Yeah, to be more accurate 5 yards down the field, that would be good. So he gave Gatewood a pretty good push there. But Michael, don't most people think that the kid from Penn State will be the starting quarterback?
That's why I wanted to play that to talk a little bit about it, Dan. Because everybody seems to think this guy from Penn State is going to step in and be the guy ultimately after competition. But, you know, we saw a little bit of Gatewood last year. And, of course, Bo Allen is the hometown guy. Mm-hmm. But Gate was a big, strong guy. Now, he didn't show me accuracy in his arm. But, of course, out of that offense, you didn't have a chance to throw it much down the field.
Right.
So yeah. We'll see. I mean, that's, I think, that is the difference between 7 and 9 wins at Kentucky this year. And follow me on
9 wins.
Yeah, I think if they could get solid quarterback play with a different offensive coordinator, with what they've got, the line and Rodriguez, one of the best, if you know, one of the top 5 running backs in the country, I think they can put points on the board and eat up clock in the process. And everybody is talking about their defense having some holes by graduation and going to the NFL, but their down line is pretty good. And if you keep them off the field long enough with your offense, mm-hmm. you got a chance.
Right. Yeah.
So it depends on how good the quarterback spot gets. If he can start, if the Cohen, the offensive coordinator, starts throwing it down the field, and you've got Wandell Robinson and some other guys that can catch it and run with it, runs after catch.
Didn't Stoops have something to say about him too?
He did. How Robinson? About Stoops number 6?
It was good to have a good relationship with Wandell. We recruited him extremely hard and tried to do all the right things and make it very difficult for him to say no to us, and that's our job. You know, it didn't work out that way the first go around, but it came back the second time, and very grateful to have him in our program. He's a difference maker. He's a guy that was electric this spring, and you could feel his presence on the field, and I'm very excited to have him on our team.
Yeah, I think he will make a difference. And Mike, they don't have to be, super, super efficient in the passing game. They just need to get, 11 guys out of the box so that their running game can. I mean, I can't believe the success they had running the football last year when everybody in the stadium knew what they were going to do. So they don't have to be super efficient in the passing game. They just have to make the defenses aware that they can do it. And I think their running game, as you said, will be very effective and chew up a lot of clock.
Yeah, I think this team has got a chance if the quarterback position rounds out to be more than it has the last few years. And maybe it could have been better with a different offensive scheme. Who knows, right? But I think they've got some guys that with a different offensive scheme can make some good plays. And all you need is a couple big plays. There were times over the last few years where Bowden made the big play with his feet, okay?
Yeah.
And you got to be able to make a big play, not only with your feet, you got to make a big play with your arm.
Sure.
And they lost some games where they were right in that zone of, can I make that big play? If I don't, I know I'm going to lose. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is the first time I've heard you say 9 wins.
Yeah, well, if the quarterback –
getting pretty optimistic.
Well, if the quarterback situation really really firms up and they become a factor,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
With Rodriguez and Smoke, they become a factor. Throw to the tight ends. If they're that good versus being erratic, you got a chance.
Yeah.
But now, even an erratic situation at quarterback with this scheme, I think, is better than it's been in the
Absolutely.
Past.
Absolutely.
So
I agree, that's why
I go with 7.
100%. Okay.
7 to 9. So,
well, as long as it's 7, we cash that bet of yours.
Yes, sir, buddy. I'm going to carry you across that bridge and cash it with me.
What'd Baker tell us? You only have to get 3/4 of the way across the bridge and your app will work?
How about Mark Stoops, number 2 on the SEC schedule, which kind of plays into Dan questioning my 9 win prediction for the Cats.
I wondered if people watched last year. You know, the league, there was quite a few people that struggled, if anybody took notice of that. So that's how I feel.
Boy, he was long on information there, right?
That was pretty quick.
I don't see why the SEC would expand their. I don't see why they would expand their league schedule. Not at all. Particularly in light of, and there's not a clip from, and I don't know if he addressed the expanded playoff situation.
Yeah,
I think it was. Kirby Smart, one of the SEC. Oh, no, Clemson coach, Dabo Sweeney, said I don't want any
totally against it. Yeah.
I don't want to expand that, baby.
Well, you can understand why, because he plays in the SEC, and he's gonna have one of the top records in the league every year. So why does he want to give eight more teams a chance to win the national championship? Yeah. He's going to be in the top four almost annually.
Yeah, Clemson's got it going in the ACC. You know, there's no question, and I get it.
Yeah,
but you kind of think he would soft sell it a little bit. He just came out and said, "Hey, I don't want anything to do with it, man. Forget about it." Right. Forget about it. Well, how about on vaccination, which is number five? I think that's a major point because there are no replay games. There are
right.
no postponed
games. Yeah, no postponed games.
Yeah, we're just going to continue to educate our players and, you know, try to reach that threshold. You know, we have a ways to go, but I believe it's attainable. You know, we want them to make the right decision for themselves. I'll let the experts come in and continue to educate them and talk to them about the benefits of it and possibly some of the negatives and let them make their own decision.
I don't know why anybody on a football team or a basketball team wouldn't get vaccinated.
Well, that's because
that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree, but I'm going to tell you because my son and daughter-in-law feel the exact same way. They're worried about consequences that we don't know anything about. You know, I've heard some people have speculated, and I don't know where any of this comes from, but some people have speculated about fertility issues. You know, what is the long-range health of people who get vaccinated? Now, you know, you and I don't have to worry about long range on anything.
Don't buy green bananas, baby.
But, you know, I can understand that. So you have a young man who's 20, 21 years old, and he hears some of this talk, then I can see why he wouldn't want to get vaccinated if they don't know, you know, exactly what. And now it could be nothing. But some people don't want to take that chance. I agree with you 100%, Mike, but I can understand why young people would have some questions about that.
Well, if they say you either get vaccinated, and maybe they can't say this, Dan, you either get vaccinated or you don't play.
Yeah, I don't think they can say that. You know, I don't think they can say that.
Well,
I mean, I don't think they can say that for two reasons. Number one, I don't think it would be legal. And number two, I don't think that they want to have to make a young man make that decision about his football future. So I don't think will happen.
Well, the first time a team has a visit from COVID and they lose a game, I think the guys in the locker room will try to convince the ones who didn't get vaccinated that, guys, it's time now that we shut up and we all get this stuff. And it's going to happen. I mean, look at all the stuff that's happening right now with the Olympics.
Yeah. I read something this morning that I found very interesting. Did you get the Pfizer vaccine?
Yes.
Is that what you got?
Yes, I did.
I got Pfizer, too. And it was the thing I read said that that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which I believe a lot of people opted for because there was only one shot. I believe I'm right there, that Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you didn't have to get the second vaccine.
There was one that you only had one.
Johnson & Johnson. And it said that Johnson & Johnson vaccine is like 67% in this study that I read, protecting people from the different variants, is where the Pfizer's much higher than that.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the lines have been drawn. okay? Mm-hmm. You either stay healthy and stay away from COVID or have enough players to play the game if you get hit or you lose.
Or it's a forfeit.
Yeah, exactly. And so a key team gets a key loss at the wrong time, man. It could be based upon their quarantine situation, Dan. It could be two games.
Yeah.
If you have, you don't have a – Kentucky had an off date last year and they had some issues. It helped them through it. But if you have back-to-back important games and somebody gets it, man, you're out of a trip to a nice bowl.
Well, and what about – you mentioned this the other day. What about these poor men and women who have trained for years – years to play in the Olympics, to perform in the Olympics, and test positive, and they're out. It's tough.
You know, a couple things before we're winding down. Did you see what Deion Sanders did?
He said something about call me coach, don't call me Deion.
Yeah,
I did. That's all I saw.
And he walked off when somebody called him Deion. He said, "Do you call Nick Saban, Nick, or you call him coach?" And he said, "Call me coach." And he walked off.
See, I always had the exact opposite problem. I didn't like people calling me coach. I mean, I didn't call my players player. I called them by their name. Now, if they, somebody says Coach Issel, then I can see that. That's kind of a sign of respect or something. But just to say coach, I had a real problem with that.
I think we're all used to Coach Issel or Coach Pratt, whoever, put together.
Yeah.
Okay, but when you get around enough people in professional sports, it's a first name basis, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's a first name.
Yeah.
You are equals to a point. But Deion, no, he did not see it that way, Dan. The other thing, Will Smith, the Louisville product, catching for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Catching in my old teammate's place, Steve Yeager. He got a walk-off home run last night.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's terrific.
You know, there's been so many walk-off hits and home runs this year already. It's amazing.
Now, your Reds won last night, right?
Beat
the Mets?
Yeah, beat the Mets. The Mets had beat them early.
They're on a roll.
Yeah, they are, man. They're only, 100 back?
And my Cubbies won. They scored. They were down 6-1 going into the top of the ninth and scored 6 runs in the top of the ninth to win 7-6. Now, it only took a drop third strike, 2 walks with the bases loaded, and an error by the Cardinals. But, it doesn't matter. When you can't score like we can't score, and now we got our ace going tonight. Hendricks has won 10 games in a row.
You're in – are you in Chicago or St. Louis?
St. Louis.
Okay.
St. Louis.
Okay.
We got our ace. We got a shot at 2 in a row, Michael.
That will bring you probably within 10.
I don't know. Well, it depends on what Milwaukee does.
Well, they I thought the Reds could take 2 or 3 from Milwaukee last weekend. It would really help, but they could only get 1.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help at all. But you talk about hitters and pitchers, and I was watching a little bit of the Yankees game last night, and they've had all those problems, called all those guys up, and the team just is falling apart.
Didn't you tell me that the entire outfield the other night were in AAA a week ago?
Yeah, and then they got a guy that was a minor league player, AAA, either all of last year or this year. And then they got a guy that started last night because the guy from AAA got hurt. and this guy was brought up, and he hadn't played at all, and he got his first start because the guy from AAA got hurt, who was in for justice. Who got hurt, yeah. But how about Tony Gwynn? A lot of people may not recognize the name. What a hitter he was.
He was a professional hitter.
So they were talking about people that could hit the ball against certain pitchers, okay? And some guys, you always heard the term, well, the pitcher's got his number.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The pitcher's got his number. Or the batter's got the pitcher's number.
Yeah.
And they put up all these stats. Well, I want to give you a stat about Tony Gwynn, I thought. Just somehow I ran across it. And when he played the Braves in his career and batted against Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddux. Okay, 3 pretty damn good pitchers.
Hall of Famers.
Okay. He had 3 Ks. He struck out 3 times. And he hit 389 against those guys when he played. 389 against Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Could this guy hit the ball or what, man?
Yeah, he was great. And then he I believe he was coaching in San Diego.
Yep.
He passed away of cancer, didn't he?
I think he did.
Yeah,
he coached at his alma mater, San Diego State.
Yeah. But, no, he was a professional, a left-hander, played outfield for Padres. He was one of the best.
Well, things are starting to shake out in football, man. I'm really excited about college football. Not as excited about the NFL, but we'll talk about the NFL. But college football, right around the corner.
Yeah, it's exciting. Now, one last thing. Did you see Green Bay is setting this thing up so good to look to make them the good guys and Rodgers the bad guy? They offered him a two-year extension, 5-year contract, making him the highest paid player in the history of the NFL, and he declined. So they're positioning themselves, however this works out, the Packers are going to be the good guys in this scenario, and Rodgers is going to be the bad guy.
If he comes back, turning down that contract probably just ruined the locker room.
Yeah. Well, you all have a great day. We'll see you again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. This has been Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.